Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of It's Just Bodybuilding. I'm your co-host, Ron Partlow, and with me is my partner in crime, Dusty Hanshaw. And we can't wait to do Coach's Corner and listener questions this week on It's Just Bodybuilding.
At Voices Radio Network.
So here we are, Dusty, episode 10.
We're in the double digits and they haven't left us yet.
No, and the last episode with Jordan Peters has the most hits of anything that we've done so far. So we're climbing.
Yeah, we're on our way up, and I feel like that one's just it's just going to gain more traction. And the amount of people who, and I know you're the same, that messaged me, emailed, like all of a sudden the fucking light bulbs went off and they understood what I've been posting about for five fucking years. Apparently, Jordan does a better job at explaining. I think
no
tears in the Lion King. I never brought the Lion King in.
It was, you know, he came across as an especially disturbed individual, and I think that that's what it takes to really hit the message home. You know,
Matt. You know, Matt, he goes. When I watched it, he goes, I saw your face when he said the Lion King, and you paused like you were waiting.
Yeah.
For him to click the joke. And yeah. Then oh shit, it's the Lion King.
Yeah, he'd moved on already. It was good. My favorite thing was that I had people tell me that they went straight to the gym and set PRs. Like I had a dozen people message me and tell me they had the best workout either of the year or whatever. You know, people say I had the best workout of the month or best leg workout in 2 years or whatever they said. But people were like messaging me going, I just like squatted four plates for the first time, or I just got six reps on the hack with four plates or whatever their goal was. Right.
Yeah.
And then even my training partner, like we went to train, you know, legs yesterday, and we hadn't trained since the show cause I was away. Right. And we went to train legs yesterday and, you know, I said, hey, it's gotta be my birthday leg day.
Oh, that's a bullet.
Just thought I'd slip that in, you know, little happy birthday to me. You know, 44. So I know they're adding up. So it was my birthday leg day. And he was like, I could tell it, that episode got him fired up too. Cause he went for like two extra force reps on everything. So
I don't want to have to lift these fuckers off of you either.
Yeah. And then the funniest part was even myself. You know, I was scheduled to go away for Mutant on a Mission that week. I was going to shoot two episodes and I was going to train legs with one of the gym owners.
Right.
Anyways, just as things went, I wound up doing legs before I left for the trip because I was so fired up. And I was so sore after I messaged him. I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to do legs again. What's to do back? You know, I wasn't 100% after that one, but I was just so fired up to train after the JP episode. You know, it reminded me of, you know, like being younger and like how crazy you are when you first start. And JP just found a way to sort of like harness that and express it. You know, I even got motivated by it. You know, when you have a guest on like that, who just gets you fired up to just fucking smash a workout. So, you know, I know you had to train that day too.
Oh yeah, no, and it's that's what I was saying. Is like when I was done with that. I mean, even just talking about it, you know how it is. It's like when you get together with people and just jam on something that everybody all understands. It's kind of like, all right. I think that your demons joined forces a little bit. I actually started to hear Jordan's voices.
right. I was doing stiff-legged deadlifts the other day, and I could hear him saying, pull. You know, I've never been hurt, pull. He's talking about how he can pull, and that like he can be explosive and brutal, and he can do whatever he wants, right? And he'll never get hurt pulling. It's just kind of an – so I just had that in my head, you know? But yeah, it was pretty cool. And, you know, a lot of people at the gym came up to me and said they really liked that episode. And I mean, I knew you were getting messages because, you know, you said the feedback was so great. So, you know, that's what we want, though, from every guest. You know, when we had Dana on, I got messages that people were super motivated. You know, people loved Ian. People loved Luke. You know, it's we've been really lucky. So I'm looking forward to just keeping the list of guests rolling.
Absolutely. The hardcore freaks.
Yeah. So you got a few questions. We're going to do a listener question episode here, and we're going to hit a few topics that, I mean, the questions that I got the most this week were kind of like, you know, because of last week's episode.
Right.
So you know, I maybe we'll hit some of those right off the bat because they're kind of fresh in everyone's memory. So one question I got from several people is, how much volume do you actually do? You know, because we're talking about, you know, pump training versus high intensity training. And I know there's a lot of semantics in there. I mean, John Meadows has made some really good points about how people just use different words to describe their sets, and then it winds up causing arguments.
Right. Yeah.
They're really actually doing the same workout. You know, like I know Meadows is a big proponent of, you know, multiple sets of say 10 to 12 reps. And then the last set is like all out failure with like the forced reps and partials and iso holds and all that stuff.
And he calls it one set.
Yeah. And he'll say, you know, where he might say he did four sets of that exercise, but yeah, one set was all out.
Yeah.
Whereas I know myself, I always sort of like spoke with the older, like the Dorian language, where I'd say, oh, I just did one set of leg press.
Yeah.
Where I really did six sets of leg press, like, and then just walk over to the machine and load it up. Right.
Yeah.
So, and then also I know your warm-up sets are very low rep.
Yeah. Everything for me, the warm-up is just, it's enough to touch the weight and to feel comfortable. So like the lighter weights might be 10, 12 reps. And then by the time I'm doing like my last touch, it's two.
Right.
You know? Like, okay. Cause I don't want to go from, you know, 600 pounds to 900. So I'll go from 600 to 750 and touch it for two and then go, okay, now we're going to go to nine.
Right. Right. You know? So people see that two reps and they don't know what to make of it. I think there's some confusion, like not that you put that video up on Instagram, but let's say someone sees you train in the gym. You're not even counting 750 for two.
Like, yeah. No, I mean, it's funny. Cause I tell the guy that does my videos, I'm like, don't bother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this is literally, I just want to feel 750 because if not, it's one of those things where ignore my numbers, whatever your numbers are. If you went from 600 like I do to 900, that's going to shock you. It's like, fuck, that's 300 pounds.
Yeah. And your form, you know, that's a huge load change. So you have to have your, it's like the rehearsal. You need to practice the actual process of pulling a heavy weight.
Yeah, exactly. You got to feel it. Like, same thing. Like even on my warmups, I don't use a belt or wraps or any of the equipment until it's time to work.
Right.
So I might do one like yesterday when we were doing the hack squats. I worked up to 18 plates and then did a drop down set of 16 plates. I didn't put my belt on until my set prior to the 18 plates where I just touched 14. I did two reps with it and I put a belt on just so I could feel what a belt felt like before I pushed.
Right. Right. And now that's kind of how I used to train. I used to use the term prep set.
Right.
So I'd have warm-up sets, prep set, and then working sets. And the warm-up sets were the bullshit, you know, one plate for 15, two plates for 10.
Right.
And then like, you know, maybe let's say I was doing incline back in the day, you know, I might do one plate for 15, two plates for 10, two and a half plates for six, and that would be my prep.
Right.
And then I'd go to like three plates and a 10 pounder and I'd do my work set.
Right.
Where I'd go to like failure plus two forced reps, plus they'd drop a negative or two on me, right. You know, and that would be how I would structure my sets. And then if you asked how many I did, I'd say one. Or if I, after that set, I take the 10 pounders off and just do three plates for one more set. And because you took 20 pounds off, you might get the same number of reps, like another six or seven rep set.
Right.
And you did two hard all out sets, you know? Now that I'm older, and trying to, way older and just, trying to stay healthier is a priority, and considering my training age, which is about 60, I do almost 10 reps on all my warmups and preps now.
Right.
I'd say 8 to 10 on all my sets now. So there's a little more energy, I guess. A younger version of me would consider it wasted energy on the warmups.
Right.
Whereas I sort of think maybe it's not a bad investment to put a little bit more gas into the warmups, get a bit more, you know, I guess, stress that way. It's going to knock a few pounds off your work sets, but I feel like my joints handle it better now at this point. But there's still the odd day where I'll get under a weight and I'll crank out three and go, fuck this. Drop it and go, let's throw another plate on, you know?
That's reason.
Yeah. You get those days, you know, where I know you just have to be, you know, you have to be smart about it. Right. You can imagine me being smart about anything, Dusty. I mean, you've known me for a while.
This is relative. Like, it's we're not talking about
right.
Smart bodybuilder. He's
it's a relative smart. So another question I had here is, what's the highest amount of volume that you've ever done for like any real extended period of time?
Ooh, I actually, when I first started, like 2006 is when I would say I started bodybuilding. I actually worked with JJ Marsh, who was a 90s pro, and we did a lot of volume.
He's huge.
Yeah, his deal was high reps with high weight with high sets at 4 a.m.
So, yeah, everything hard.
Deal. So, yeah, it was just basically the mentality was more, you know. Right. And I think I really I did well with that because it's where I started. But I can definitely tell you, if I were to go back to that now, like if someone said, okay, you're going to go to high volume now, to that kind of volume, I would have to change my entire mindset because the amount of energy, mental energy it takes for my sets, I can't imagine doing 26 sets for quads or something.
Right. But
I think that I would go brain dead at 12.
Yeah.
And not really be there anymore. I mean, I just think that if you're, and it's funny because I say this knowing that JJ was one of the most freakish beast trainers there was, but he was wired that way. Whereas now I'm wired to put that amount of focus into 6 sets, you know?
Yeah.
And no matter what, you can kind of zero in. I mean, I was telling a kid yesterday because he asked me after the set, he's like, how do you do that? Like, how do you get locked in? And I'm like, it's 1 minute. I have to give focus of that level for 1 minute.
Right.
That's it. And you figure if I do, you know, 6 sets total, it's 6 minutes, 6 and a half, 7 minutes. You know what I mean?
For the spread out over an hour.
Yeah. So it's not that difficult, but doing that 26 times and high reps. And so you're talking about getting to 15, essentially being done and forcing 5 more reps, that might take another 40 seconds by the time you come up to the top, you know? So the highest I would say though was, I bet you I was doing 30 sets for legs.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, it was just obscene. Like, I think I'm tapped now.
Right, right. I worked with a coach for a while. You know, I did the Dorian thing all from pretty much, you know, middle of high school all the way till I was, you know, second at nationals and like, you know, 300 off season and all that. So it worked really well for me. And then I did start to run into some like frustrating plateaus. And I started working with a coach named Scott Abel, who was really famous in Canada here back in the 90s. He turned like pretty much everyone pro here for a while. He was like the coach, you know, he worked with Greg Kovacs and like all like kind of the famous Canadians that, you know, he helped Paul Dillette back in the day. Like, you know, all those guys, he worked with all those guys. And so I started working with him, and he was a big believer in volume. In fact, he thought you should train just to failure and not past failure, because he really believed that the total stress, the total load, you know, if you take, you know, 300 pounds times 12 times 5 sets and you add it up, you get that mathematical number of how many pounds you moved.
Right.
And he really liked those numbers to be big.
Right.
So, you know, 10 plates on the leg press for 5 sets of 15.
Right.
You know, and like it gets fucking hard. Like it's volume training isn't easy. It's just different, you know, and there's a difference between like hardcore, like, you know, volume training and like, you know, pump training, like being a pussy about it. Right. But like this hard ass volume training. But when I first started doing his volume training, I didn't know how to do it. I was doing every set. Like I got the program. It's like leg press 4 sets. So I did 4 fucking brutal sets of leg press.
And then reps with the,
yeah, like,
we're, you know, like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And like within a week or two, I was messaging him. I'm like a complete disaster. Like, I think I'm getting the flu. And, you know, and he's asking me all these questions because I'm here. I am this super hardcore guy that's having problems with the workouts. He's like, how's this guy supposed to be tough?
How's that possible?
Yeah. Like this guy's supposed to be like super hardcore. Like, why is he having problems with the workouts? But and then we finally realized we had like sort of a perception difference on what the workout was. And he's like, no, I don't want you to do any forced reps. I want you going right to that like kiss of failure, you know?
Yeah, the moment you can't finish the rep is done.
Yeah, and so I started training like that for a while. And I did grow on his program. I did improve. When I worked with Scott, my physique did go up a size.
Right.
And but that also goes back to, you know, the hardest workout is sometimes the one that you're not doing.
Right, yeah,
it's a shock. You know, I remember my chest grew. All of a sudden I had like a fuller chest. I was like, oh, it was just total volume, right? Mm-hmm. So there was some things that happened that I did notice, and I learned a ton. But, you know, when it comes down to actually adding muscle to my frame, I still wound up going back to like, you know, from 20 sets of quads to like 8.
Right.
You know, and that seems to be where I had the most success for like the last third of my, you know, career. I kind of see my competing years as like three stages I went through.
Right.
And I sort of finished the way I started.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I sort of went back like what really works for me, you know, and I sort of finished out all those shows I did with Chris.
Right.
I trained my way, you know. Chris didn't try to get me to train anybody's way. He said, train your way. And that's when I had the most success. And it was, you know, I guess 8 working sets of quads, right. maybe 10 on back, because I do like lower back as like a separate exercise. And you know what I mean? I didn't deadlift as much as you do. You know, I wasn't like that type of deadlifter, but you know, chest would be 8 sets, and then the smaller body parts might be 6 to 8 sets.
Right.
You know, and that was kind of the, where I had the most success, you know, but I never did the straight up DC like you did. I remember you sent me a DC program like a couple years ago to try, and I was having fun with it. Like I started it and I was like, ah, this is the actual DC. I've never done real DC. I thought I want to give this a go. And then like, I think it was like a month in and I blew my quad.
So not like, doing the training, everyone.
Not we were, doing the training. It was unrelated, but yeah, that was a bit unfortunate. So, but yeah, people were really stimulated by the concepts that we went over with Jordan. You know, the one phrase he uses is pivotal reps.
Right.
Those pivotal reps.
Right.
And you know, I had more than one person mention it to me. They're like, I think about that now.
Right. Well, that's the thing is you have to lock into that. You know, I've posted about it before. Dante calls it the now moment.
Yeah.
That's where that first rep that you struggle to finish, that's when the set starts.
Yeah. That's now you're into the ones that matter.
It's time to go. Like, you know, so I mean that you'll oftentimes in the videos, like I'll tell Matt during, I'm like, okay, now it counts.
Yeah. And at that point you're only like 1 to 3 reps away from being done the set.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's it. And that's the thing. But if you can get that one more rep, you know, every workout or every set over the time period of 52 weeks, that adds up to a ridiculous amount. And I think truthfully, most people stop 3 reps short of the now moment starting.
Yeah. There's also the secondary thing that those pivotal reps do to you. You know, when you're doing your hack squat or whatever, and you get that slow rep, that's that one that's like, oh fuck, that one was a grinder. If you get the next rep, it doesn't just add a very difficult amount of stress to your muscle. That's obviously the reason you do it.
Right.
But it also hardens you mentally.
Oh, for sure.
Like when you go in for a rep that you're not really sure if you can get and you get it, it builds your confidence.
Yeah.
And I think about all the reps that I did that on. And I'm so thankful I did that on all those reps, because the people that quit and don't try that next rep, like who cares if you get stuck? I ditched a squat bar yesterday. I didn't tell you about this. I ditched a fucking squat bar over my head. I failed and ditched it over my head on the rack. My training partner caught by surprise. Yeah. Well, he knew I had a couple of hard reps left, but you know, we'd done some pretty tough sets at that point. And I went down for one more rep. And you know, when you're kind of squatting and you're a little on your toes, right, and you start to fail, you can kind of lean back and use your butt. But I was like on my heels already, and I was right on my quads. You know what I mean?
It's not getting this.
Yeah, there was no form, there was no area for me to break my form too, you know, and I was right on my heels. I remember feeling like, oh, this is going to be all quads this rep. And I went down for it. And when I drove, I remember they both just shut off.
Like a light switch.
both quads just, poof, we're done. And all of a sudden it was just glutes, hams, and I'm already on my heels. And I just fucking, yeah. And he went to spot me, but it was like too late. And I just fucking fell forward and ditched it on the rack. And a couple of people in the gym were like, you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Actually, I'm super like hyped that I just ditched the squat bar.
It's been a minute.
It's been so long since I did that. It was like fun, you know, just squatting to actual failure.
Right.
And then he just looked at me because he had just smashed a set.
Right.
Right. Like a really good set where he grinded out like a bunch of tough ones failure.
You bastard.
And I was like, oh shit, fuck, my training partner's fucking putting me in the tank here. And then I bailed the squat bar and he was like, well, you get set of the day, I guess. Like, it was pretty funny.
That's what people miss though. I think, I don't know if you saw, but a few months ago, I put up a video where I missed on a hack squat. I mean, I got all the way up pinned. I had to ninja my way out of it. And it was funny because a guy was like, somebody commented, a few people actually, but they were like, I can't believe you missed. And I'm like, oh, I miss all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
like if I never miss, then that means I never went for it. Like,
yeah.
You know, and you're not going to get hurt.
You know? No. You know, it's funny because when we were doing our warm-up sets, I sort of looked and I was like, I better put these stoppers up a little bit. They look a little low. And I know like the tough guy thing is to squat without the stoppers, but you know, after what I've been through, I'm like, I'm gonna put these stoppers up like at the right height, you know? Right. And sure as shit, I fucking bailed on it. It's been a while, but that didn't scare me. It actually made me more confident. I'm like, oh, like there's nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Like, so what? You go down, you can't come back up. Big fucking deal. You just like lean forward and you're fine.
As long as you know what to do when you're pinned, you're fine. And I think the big issue too, though, is a lot of people panic or do something stupid trying to get the rep when it's like, no, you're done. It's not going. You know what I mean? Just get out, bail. You know, I grip so wide on squats that I actually have to throw it back. So
right.
As you know, that means jump forward so it doesn't hit you in the ass on the way down.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's like bail and jump.
Yeah, it's chest up, hips forward.
Yep. Get your, well, and with your knee, I mean, your ass is like 10 feet long, so I got to really throw that shit forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you build that confidence and it takes away the fear of, you know, getting stuck on things, which is, I think, you know, something that a lot of people have a problem with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't be afraid of those moments because the ones that you make it out of, those are the ones that like build your confidence. You're like, fuck, I fucking, you know, I don't have to worry about that weight anymore. Like that weight's nothing, you know?
Or if you make a mistake, I mean, I know for me, there's been moments where I've missed a rep. And like you mentioned, I knew I let myself fall a little forward or something. So in my head, it was supposed to be 13 reps or whatever. And I know I actually have 13. I just fucked up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So yeah,
I'll put that in my book. Like I got 12, but that's because I was an idiot. Not,
yeah,
can't get 13, you know.
Yeah, yeah, we're not always perfect on every rep. What I got one more related to Jordan here, which again, like, you know, not really naming the people here because these were multiple people asked these. So there was a couple that sort of boiled down to how many days a week can you train and still make gains training the way you do.
So here's the deal. I'm a pretty huge. I worry about the CNS. So I really don't think you can train at that level of intensity more than 2 to 3 days before you need a day off. So my days move. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I train quads on Sunday. It moves all over the place. It depends. And I also pay attention to how I feel. Like I might be scheduled to train tomorrow and not going to.
Right.
You know, so you got to pay attention because when training is what you love more than anything, if you don't want to go, you know that you're smoked, you know, because I want to train every day. If I could train 7 days a week, 3 times a day, I would. So I have to listen to that, which is if I'm not amped to go to the gym, that either means I need a day off or I need a week off.
Yeah. I have never successfully been able to train 6 days a week ever. I always get sick.
Right. Your body breaks.
Yeah, I always get sick. The way I train, you know, I've tried to follow programs before. You know, I thought, well, maybe I need a bit more volume here and here. And by the time you're done doing up your schedule, you got a 6 day split.
Right.
Like I've been there before. You know, I'll get hams their own day, quads their own day, arms their own day. You know, you got a 6 day split.
Right.
And like 2 weeks, 3 weeks in, fucking flu symptoms, or I get a cold or something like that. So my body's never, ever been able to handle that. Again, maybe that, you know, that's probably because of the training intensity that, you know, I always try to take to the workouts. But 4 to 5 days, that's absolutely all I can ever handle. And now I just do a 2-on-1 off, and it seems to be like foolproof.
I think that's the big thing too, though, is, and nothing is absolute. There's plenty of guys that train twice a day and have great physiques and train hard. But I think if you can consistently train 6 or 7 days a week, at least a couple of those days aren't that hard.
Right.
Oh, I put as much emphasis and effort into arms as I do into back.
Yeah.
You know, so it may not be as taxing for my body, but I'm smoked. There's nothing left. The brain is smoked. So I really find, like I said, I mean, after the third day of going, like I just trained 3 days. No, wait. I trained 3 days straight. There's no way. Like tomorrow, when I finished this workout before we came in, I was like, oh. I'm done.
Right.
You know? Right.
Yeah. And I also, I have to do this all the time, but I always tell clients, like, they'll say, oh, it's my day off today. So I just went to the gym and did abs and calves. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But can you try to take a day off weights? Like, you could still, obviously, you're getting ready for a show. So still, like, got to do your cardio and all that. But can you not train? Like, don't lift anything. Like, we're trying to rest your entire system as well.
Right.
You know, because I mean, like, what, calves isn't easy for me. It's a lot of pain involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's a half an hour of pain and stretching and focus. And it's also you're trying to rest your mind from the actual task of training.
Right.
Because you come back the next day, like, you know. So I'm a big believer in days off of training. Like, you still, obviously, you got your cardio, do your stretching, do your preventative, you know, if you got a massage appointment that day, or you're going to, you know, fucking do whatever foam rolling you got to do or whatever. But yeah, I don't lift anything on those days.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that 100%. Hard to do because people want, I think that's the big issue, is everyone, they feel like, it, as you know, and this is what leads back to overtraining everything. Well, what if I just do more?
Yeah, you that's know? It. You know, I've been roped into it repeatedly.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You just have to remember more is not always better. I always like to just push back to that because, again, and I've done it too, sure as shit, once I get there, I'm like, all right, I'm still 275 pounds, but it looks tired.
Right. It
looks stringy, you know, versus sometimes the exact same weight, same conditioning, same everything, you look like you're going to explode. Like,
yeah.
I call it like a muscle has pop to it. You take your shirt off, people are like, oh, like, how much did you eat today? And you're like 50 grams of carbs for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, actually, I actually had an interesting, like, I was away this week from Mutant on a Mission, right? And, you'll love this. I flew into North Carolina. We stayed overnight. The next day we got up, we drove out to Kai Jack's gym to film Mutant on a Mission. Right. I did a back workout, back and biceps, with the owner, Matt, great guy. But, you know, when I film those episodes, I keep the volume even lower than normal.
For the video.
For the video. Like, it's just one working set for each exercise because you just got to capture that exercise and move on, right? And, got a little bark from Jedi here. So you got to capture that exercise, right? And so we did, you know, like one all-out set of, you know, five different exercises.
Right.
And that was back. And then for biceps, we did two exercises. So they had like two all out working sets with a couple forced reps on each one. And I was pretty bagged from the flight and everything. And then we left and our flight got canceled. So I wound up not getting out that night and we had to stay a second night.
Right.
But the flight they put us on was at super early in the morning. So, you know, when you look at your watch and you go, okay, I'm going to get 4 hours of sleep.
Right.
And then you can't sleep.
Yeah. Now, so I get 3 hours.
Yeah. And it just kept, plus I had three people competing this weekend. So I was looking at update. It was just too much going on. I did not sleep for one single minute.
Right.
Not 1 minute. I did not fall asleep. Got up, went to the airport, flew from Greensboro, North Carolina to Montreal. Unfortunately, the planes we were on were the tiniest little tin cans with the one row down the one side and the two down the other.
Yes.
Couldn't sleep on either flight. Not a minute. So I get to Montreal. I have not fucking any sleep. Go straight to Atlantis Gym.
Okay.
Had to get my perk on.
Right.
Camera starts rolling, interview the owner, tour the gym, tour the factory, go fucking train, pump out a chest workout. My buddy Larry and I trained. We did four working sets for chest and like three for shoulders.
Right.
That was it. So two super low volume workouts with zero sleep.
Right.
And missed meals.
Of course.
And then when I got home, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, fuck, I look really full. And I wonder, I'm like, geez, maybe I really needed to dial back on the volume a bit.
Right. Exactly.
Like you know what I mean?
Not at all.
You know, I didn't look small and flat from the trip. I actually came back. I looked bigger and harder.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck? So, you know, it sometimes you're reminded that it's not the total number, you know, the total number is not the key.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You got a few questions there. You could fire a few off.
Yeah, I've got a few here. One I already kind of hinted with you on, so I would like to. I'm going to pull them all up so I can get to the fresh ones. Where is it? Jesus, I'm getting too many questions now.
Oh, and just so everybody knows why you're looking for that. Yes, we are going to have Aceto on the show, but he can't do Mondays. It's a real problem for him. So we have to find an alternate day to record. So the number of people that are asking me when Aceto is going to be on, he is coming, but Monday is his, it's like his daddy day, isn't it?
Well, and then 900 businesses, you know?
So and yeah.
Downside to that, you know, he's like bodybuilding on the weekend. And he's got shit to do on Monday.
Yeah. Right,
here was the question that I already kind of threw at you. Guy asked, thoughts on MK677, I love all the numbers, instead of low-dose GH due to price. Some people say it has the effect of as up to 2 IUs. Shoot.
I've never, well, actually, you know what? I forgot. I did try MK777. I did try it once. I got really watery off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a couple clients that have used it and I've had to take them off of it because they were holding a lot of water and I couldn't really see what was going on.
Right.
So, you know, I've never seen that much water, even from real GH, because I've obviously used like good stuff and I never had that much water. So it was, for me, it was way more water retention.
Mm-hmm.
So that part I didn't like. But I mean, there's no replacement for good growth hormone. Like everyone's always trying to cut corners on the GH. I don't know. I never ever, you know, did the real, like the peptide thing for GH. I tried that a little bit. I didn't really think that was nearly as good. Some people have good responses from that stuff, but you know, if I was competing again, I wouldn't get anything but the best, you know? Yeah.
I
mean,
that's how I feel. Like I look at these and I think it's a dangerous thing when you start saying, instead of this, I went to the shit version. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying.
Well, another thing is he's saying, you know, instead of 2 IUs. And I'm like, well, 2 IUs, that's like the absolute minimum.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you're going to take for a show? You're going to take 2 IUs?
I think with stuff like that, my advice is, and I've never done them. I mean, I hate it. Clients will send me these things and I've never heard of half of them.
Right.
It's funny because obviously we hang out in the same circles. Neither does anyone else that we know. Yeah.
It's the only one I ever tried.
You know, I don't know top level pros that are using any of this shit. So no. I feel like you're kind of getting sold a dream. Cause literally, I mean, I'm not going to name names here, but I mean, you guys know who we hang out with. I don't know anyone who's done all this shit. So I think that the big factor when you're looking at these is no, like I'd rather say, keep your money, but buy better quality beef or steak it. for a year for your next show and buy good growth. Like,
you got to get the white tuna.
Classy shit.
We comes back to the white tuna. Yeah, you know you're balling. Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. And not only the guys that we hang out with haven't used it, but think of the coaches that we know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't hear these things.
They'd be like, what?
I don't hear them talking about them.
No.
Now, the only thing that I will say that I've actually, like, I do have something good to say about SARMs. I've had a couple of female clients that wanted to use Osterine.
Right.
They found that they were able to get a great result. In fact, they got in the best shape of their life ever working with me that year. Like, one person I'd never worked with before, and she started working with me, and she really wanted to try Osterine, so we threw it in. She wound up getting in the best shape she'd ever been in, and on the least amount of drugs she's ever taken for a show.
Right.
So the Osterine definitely covered some ground there, because I think she was used to taking, like, you know, quite a bit of Anavar and some Primo and, you know, this and a little bit of that. And all she wound up taking, like, was 20 Anavar and the Osterine, and that was it.
Right.
And she was, like, bigger and harder than ever. So the Osterine definitely helped.
Right.
The other thing I have to say about SARMs is, if you're using SARMs, that's fine. I have nothing against using them. I think they're going to be an awesome class of drugs, especially once we get into, like, the third, fourth generations of them, when they really get them down pat and they really work well.
Right.
But you're not natty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hate that.
You're not natural. You're now a PED user. You're on drugs, just like the rest of us. Yep. It's fine. Like, it's totally cool, but just, you're not natty.
That's like when guys are taking the pro hormones. I'm like, they're designer steroids. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're designer steroids. Yeah. So, but it's just, those are just the facts. That's, you know, I'm an old school guy. PEDs are PEDs, you know? Yep. But you're not natty anymore, you know?
Yeah. Nice try on that one. All right. I got a few too. I hate when I ask those kind of questions. Ooh. Best tips for traveling during prep.
Oh, shit. Well, in 2015, the year I got my pro card, I did a 20-week prep, and I spent 7 entire weeks on the road.
I remember. I
ran everywhere. Because I started my prep in January, and I had to go to the Arnold and then fly directly to the Arnold, Australia.
Yep.
And then I went to Body Power, and then I went to FIBO. Oh. And then we did, like, a shoot that I had to travel for and some mutant on emissions. And then I competed. And when I added it up, it was 7 full weeks of travel inside a 20-week prep. And I vacuum sealed and froze all my meals and put them in a hard shell cooler, mm-hmm. and zip tied it and wrote my name on it in big marker and checked it as a second bag.
Right.
And then just crossed my fingers everywhere that customs wouldn't, like, take it away.
Right.
The only country I didn't bother taking food to was Australia, because I actually had a hookup there to get my meals made.
Right.
Because Australia allows zero food. Like, you can't import anything at all, like, fucking nothing. So I knew that ahead of time. And that was 2015, which was kind of funny if you think about it, because there were hardly any meal prep companies. Like, the meal prep companies have exploded since then. So, sure. Like, now, I mean, if I was going to do that again, I'd just, like, I just arrange my meals to magically appear at the hotel for me.
Right.
I mean, everyone's got it so easy now, you know. Can I have 10 ounces of chicken and a cup of rice times 30, you right. know? but yeah, back then, which, you know, wasn't too long ago, I was vacuum sealing and taking my food. So the bottom line is, it's your responsibility to make sure you have what you need.
Yep.
And if you think you're going to need it, you fucking take it, you know? And I always had, you know, I remember I used to always travel. I'd have a couple cans of tuna and a can opener and some servings of protein and some rice cakes and stuff that you can eat without a kitchen, you know, on hand, just in case. It's you just have to take responsibility.
I mean, it's all about, like you said, it's responsibility of preparation, knowing what you need. The big thing is how to keep this stuff from going bad, which you already nailed. It's got to be frozen. Like for me, when I do the long flights, a lot of guys say, well, how do you carry it on board? You can't have ice. It's like, well, the food that I'm not eating today is frozen.
Yes. So
it is now my ice.
Yes.
That I'm eating today. See, I always had a fear, and granted, I didn't have like typical week-long trips, of my food getting lost on the flight. So I would actually bring one of the bigger coolers on the airplane with me as my carry-on, and I'd have all my vacuum-sealed stuff in there frozen, and then the food for the flight on top of it, so it was cold, and that way off my side, you know?
Even in my little cooler that I take on the plane, let's say I have three meals in there, one or two of them will be frozen, and they'll act as my ice pack. And then after I eat the first meal, I can, if I need to, I can put ice in that container and you know, click it back shut, and that could be my ice pack.
Right.
Like I've been on those long flights where I've asked the flight attendant, can you fill this with ice just to make sure I keep my other meals cold?
Right.
So yeah, you just do what you got to do. And another thing I learned that year was, holy fuck, those hard shell coolers, they really work. Cause I had food that I froze, and threw a couple ice packs in. It was full, shipped it, got all the way to Germany, got it back to my hotel, opened my cooler. Everything was still frozen, completely solid.
Right.
I was just blown away with how good that cooler worked. So yeah, you don't have to worry about stuff going bad. And I didn't even need a fridge in my room because I just kept dumping ice in the cooler.
Yep.
And I'd come back to my room at night, it would still be all frozen. You know, yep. I'd just take the meals out.
With the if you're taking a bunch of food, typically the hotel, if you have the small refrigerator, you go downstairs and they have any form of a kitchen, they will actually house your food for you.
Yeah, the one place in – yeah. Yeah. One hotel in Germany got to know me. I just walk right into the kitchen and go in the cooler and get my meals.
Yep, they knew. They're like, he does this six times a day. It's fine.
Yeah, they were cool about it.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Yeah, you got another one there?
I got a ton. I gave them 20 minutes warning, so we're good here.
I was afraid to post about today's show because I already had so many.
All right, here's a good one. How long did you train naturally before you hopped on gear?
4 years.
Okay.
Because I told on the last episode, I did my first cycle of D-ball when I was 18.
Right.
But I started training when I was like just turned 14. So, you know, I started training at 138 and I didn't start taking gear till I was like 224. So I can't remember, 225 or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, I almost put on 100 pounds naturally.
Right. So what do you, I'm going to twist that question a little further because I think it's key is, how do you explain to guys that it's not about how long you train naturally, but what do they need to do before they should consider jumping on something? Because I mean, I'm blown away. Guys come in, they don't even know. If you ask them what their training split is, they look at you like you got six heads, and then they'll say, "What do you think about cypionate and propionate as a combo?"
Yeah.
Oh fuck, we also know nothing about that.
I think that. You're right. Time isn't really the major factor. It's what have you done with your time, right? So one thing that I really don't like seeing is I don't like guys seeing hop on juice when they're not strong at all.
Right.
Like you should be strong. Like, and I don't mean strong, like impressing people strong, but strong for you. Like if you're a small framed guy and you're really tiny, then strong for you might be benching a plate and a half.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not a four plate bench for everybody. You know, some people have, you know, they're genetically really strong for them is like, you know, different. And then other guys, obviously you get those big farm kids like I used to play football against. And it's like, you know, some of those guys can bench easy 4 plate naturally.
Yeah.
You know, but you should be strong. You should have tested your natural limits of strength at least somewhat. You know, you should have, you know, a strong squat and you should be deadlifting heavy and, you know, whatever that is for your size. But yeah, I mean, I benched, 300 and squatted 405 in high school. And, that's not common, but you know, whatever that is, whatever that means, you should have some strength. If you're fooling around with 1 plate benches and stuff, like you're not ready for gear.
Right. I also think if you have no idea what you're eating yet, you know what I mean? Cause I find a lot of that too, where, you know, when I used to own the stores, people would come in and they'd have tons of questions about gear or pro hormones or whatever at the time. And you'd answer them all. And then I'd finally jump in and be like, what'd you eat today? And then they'd tell you and you're like,
yeah, yeah.
You're focused on the most advanced things and you don't have a foundation yet. You know, it's like, and like you said before, it doesn't have to be the 6 ounces of this, but are you eating every 3 or so hours some protein and carbs and some fats? Yeah. Great. If you're doing that, I guess we're on our way.
I had something I said to someone once, and they said it really got the message home to them. I said, you know, if someone's been skiing for 3 months and you give them a pair of like $5,000 skis, mm-hmm. are they going to be any better at skiing?
Yeah, no.
They're just going to be a clumsy beginner on $5,000 skis. They're not even going to notice that their skis are better.
Yeah, no, for like, sure.
They don't even notice a difference. They don't even know that they're on $5,000 skis. They're still falling down all over the place and doing the bunny hill and snow plowing and shit. Is this too Canadian for you, Dusty?
No, actual. I mean, remember who I am. Hockey, no. I'm actually laughing in my head because I remember when Nike came into hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
And kids would show up with like Nike skates. I'm like, I'm fighting him.
Right. I'm fighting him.
I'm like, I'm kicking his ass today. Why the fuck would you wear Nike skates?
Like, that's
because it's funny, but if you look, and this is a segue thing, but I used to laugh because kids were so fancy with the perfect socks and all their like matching gear.
Oh, that was when it changed.
The really good players had like, I had sweatpants that I pulled over my shin pads and used old hockey skate laces and tied them instead of tape because I didn't want to waste the fucking tape. I look like I got a mess out there.
And you had leather Bowers from the swap meet.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, so when you see that stuff, it's kind of the same thing. I'm like, oh, that's fancy.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. So yeah, I just said, you know, but if you took someone who's skiing, you know, for 10 years and you give them better skis, they step up.
Yeah, it's a game changer for sure.
Game changer for them. So, you know, you could do the same analogy with anything, but that's sort of what it's like to me, you know?
Yeah, sure.
They're just not ready. It's not going to make a real difference.
What I think that, you know, what I've always said about the gear is, if not, like we discussed last week or 2 weeks ago, it hides mistakes. You know, if you can't see measurable change on your training and diet plan, then you're it's wrong. I mean,
right.
Even at this stage, when I have a new client come to me who's been on and stuff, they might be on right now. I'm like, how long have you been on? Okay, go off. And now I'm going to build you a plan and I'm going to make you grow without. Because
yeah.
I don't know what that shit does. But I need to know that I'm making you grow without. When I say without, I mean, that might be 200 milligrams for a guy that's been on for forever, but he's going to be real low. And we're going to be relying on the food and the training. And once I'm seeing measurable change, I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. And I say to clients too, you know, I have clients who call me and they're like, you know, like, well, like I've got this one really great young guy, I'm helping him. And I see so much potential in him. And, you know, he messaged me. He's like, I lost a rep on my chest exercises. And I'm like, that's fine. Like you're off. You're not on anything at all.
Right.
And he's coming off the post show rebound.
Right.
So, you know, the strength goes stupid and then it kind of like, it draw, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's fine. Don't worry about it. You can get, even if you get weaker for a few weeks, I'm not even remotely worried because it's where we're going. and where you're going to be next time you compete that I care about.
Yeah,
it's peaks and, you know, peaks and valleys. It's not linear. So, you know, sometimes the young guys are like, oh, my God, I'm getting weaker right now. I'm like, I got weaker a million times.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get stronger, too. You know, just wait. Your strength's going to go through the roof next time we do a blast and you get your food up. And, you know, right now you're just trying not to get too fat.
What I used to always say is with the peaks and valleys analogy is as long as your current valley is higher than your last valley, you're fine.
Right.
As long as your next peak is higher than your previous peak, we're heading up.
Yes.
The whole way. You know what I mean?
And yeah,
I think
yeah.
People get screwed up is all they think is my valley's lower than my peak. It's like, well, yeah, that's how this works.
Yeah, very, very normal.
You know, you got to step back to take two steps forward.
Okay, I got a good one here for you, Dusty.
Fire.
What podcast do we listen to?
Jet. You guys are about to find out I'm the worst bodybuilder in the world. I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, and that's it.
Right. Just Rogan.
Yeah, because, I mean, and what I love about Rogan is I'm doing like 20 minutes of cardio a day right now. So one episode is like more than a week of cardio.
So you have no shortage of material.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, so that's what I do. But the reason is actual bodybuilding podcasts, I think I could definitely get behind starting to watch Fuad and Luke's Bodybuilding Bollocks because it's not so bodybuilding. You know, I've been immersed in bodybuilding for so long, and not to say that there's nothing to learn, but I learn it talking to my friends, not listening to podcasts. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I get more value out of the world events and views and things like that from something like a Rogan, or the humor of something like, you know, pure entertainment of listening to Fuad and Luke's show. But yeah, other than that, I really don't, you know, I guess I don't consume as much content as I create.
Right. And that's, I'm sort of in the same boat. So I listen to Fuad's Real Bodybuilding Podcast. I don't catch every episode. Mm-hmm. He's awesome at churning out material. But one thing I will say about Fuad's show is I really like Fuad's content.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like Fuad. He's a great guy. We've always gotten along. But sorry?
What's that? Assholes like assholes.
Yeah.
Like him too. Makes sense.
So I like listening to him. I think he asks interesting questions. I like how he, you know, gets his guests to open up and joke around. Like it's a good show. You know, I like it. And then the show with Luke is hilarious. I've heard several episodes of that. And then occasionally I'll put on Heavy Muscle Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if Chris texts me and says,
that's what I do. If Chris says, did you listen to that? I'm like,
if Chris texts me, goes, what did you think? You have to listen to Heavy Muscle. Then I'm like, okay, he probably either mentioned a text I sent him or he tells a funny story or something. So, so I'll listen to Heavy Muscle. Sometimes that's pretty entertaining. But yeah, I mean, I just don't have a lot of time for podcasts, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But my main podcast consumption is Joe Rogan. You know,
but everyone that's listening right now is nodding.
And some weeks it's more than others. You know, there might be an episode with someone like, you know, he had Rob Zombie on.
Right.
Just a little while ago. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's going to be awesome. I listened to the whole episode. Like, I made breakfast, ate a meal, worked on a laptop, listened to the whole thing all at once, right? But sometimes you get a week where there's, like, people you don't really know.
Yeah.
And you're like, you kind of wondering, like, oh, this guy's a physicist, and this guy's a, you know,
yeah,
you know, politician, and this guy's that. And you maybe pick one based on that and listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you get the odd surprise.
Yeah.
You know? And then he has the odd episode that's just like a beautiful, glorious, flaming train wreck. like he had like Roseanne Barr on again.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet. But
she's like your friend's crazy fucking mom. You know?
Do.
Just yeah, that.
When I saw that, I literally like, it was like a mental check. Like, don't forget to watch that one.
Because she was on not long ago, like right after she lost her show.
Yeah, for being a fucked up crazy mom.
Yeah, she's like, I was tweeting on Ambien. I don't know what I was fucking saying, you know? And she was just funny. But then this episode, she's even a little bit more like, woo, like.
I'm on Ambien now.
Yeah. She, you know. But yeah, I really like that show. Joe is great. He's a lot of fun. And then, you know, I always watch his highlights of the week, you know, kind of sum up the best moments of the week.
what you could do, it's funny, but I put that in your birthday post today. You could do a show like Joe because you have so much information in your dome that I don't where the fuck you come, like, when I hang out with Ron and we have conversations, it's like a reminder that I'm not that smart. I'm like, how do you know this shit? And it's, so, like, it's not like you're talking like you've got this, like you're one of those people that knows everything. It's like I'm listening. I'm like, did you memorize the article? Why were you reading that article? What? How many hours are in your day? You're a busy fucking man. Like,
no, I have like barely any real skills in life, Dusty. Like, but one of the things that I just accidentally am good at is I just remember if something interests me, I just remember it. So if I read a random fact, like it could be anything, but it for some reason is interesting to me, I'll remember it for years and years and years.
But a conversation at dinner, and I'm always like, how do you know that? And I, like, sometimes I want to Google it. I'm like, that motherfucker had that date down and everything. Like, shit. Yeah, yeah. Page 57 of the National Enquirer, June 2006. Like, why do you know what page it was on?
Yeah, I surprised myself with the odd thing. And then also, too, Dusty, even if you're not sure of the page number, just be confident in the page number, and the story's better.
It deliver it so strongly that I'm like, it has to be 37. He fucking said it is.
Right, right. That's part of it. That's part of it.
No, but seriously, like, it would be great if there was a way to get you a bodybuilding / world event show, because then all of a sudden I would have something to watch, because I'm like, every time we go out, I'm like, I'm really hoping Ron has a good story tonight.
Well, I hope I don't let you down, Dusty. I try
to eat with stories with Ron. You will lose.
I try to keep up
immediately.
I emceed a show on the weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. How'd that go?
The Van City, the West Coast Iron Van City Showdown.
Ooh, your first title sponsor?
Yeah, we're first title sponsor. It's our second year doing the show. You know, I'd like to take credit for being a promoter, but really it's our team, the team that really promotes the show. Corey that runs the main promotion is does a lot of the work, but I definitely show up with the suit on. And
it was a nice time too.
MC the show. Well, you know, you had to get some suits made. I was out of jackets. I can't, you know, start showing up in pictures wearing the same shit.
I haven't seen this one.
Yeah, I got two new suits made. Wait till you see the next one. The next suit I got, I went a little bit like, let's get funky a little bit.
Well, you have to, because you've got, what's the other MC that's always up there that's got the crazy?
Oh, Kim. Suit? Yeah, oh. MC. Yeah, that guy. He's got the flashy.
Where did you buy this fucking thing?
Yeah, he's good. So anyways, I was emceeing and you know, I'm just a dumb English dude, right? I do the best I can. And this one, well, there was a lot of dudes in the show that had hard names.
Right.
Like there was, I don't want to like offend them and call them the wrong thing, but I'm not sure if they're Persian names or Arab names or East Indian names. Some of them, like it was a mix. There's all these different names. Right.
Right.
And when I first got the name sheet, because you always want the name sheet early because you're going to see those names.
Yeah, then you could grab them and ask them.
And you want to, or there's maybe just all types of names, or there's a Russian name or a name with X's in it. You know, you want to find the athletes to be like, you know, I don't like to butcher people's names, right? I was fucking hated it when people would say Ron Paltrow.
Girl, where's the L?
Though they thought I was like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
Well, it's just the T and the L are just switched, right?
Probably not your type, but go ahead.
Yeah. And I always hated it. I'm like, Partlow. Fuck, there's an R in there. Like, drive me crazy. So anyways, but once the show started, boom, I just fucking did the best I could. Nailed them. I think I did really good. And then afterwards, I got messages from two people. They're like, man, you did awesome with some of those names. And I was like, cool. I'm glad. I want to get the names right. You know, I know what it's like. Well, I don't know what it's like to really get your name butchered, but you know, be an athlete on the side of the stage and you hear your name announced and you're like, oh fuck, you know, I would never want to do that to anybody. So I did the best I could. And I got, you know, it was pretty funny. And I said to the one guy, I go, you know, the key is to just deliver the name.
Just go for it.
Cause if you go up, like a woman, you know, it's a question. Like if you say the name and you go da 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 da, Yeah. It's like, I think.
Yeah.
Right. You just got to deliver.
It's gold. So,
gold. Okay. All right, you got another one there, bro?
A few more here, so I want to grab them up here. Okay. This is good. PJ Morrison wants to know thoughts on TRT for men in their 20s. And they put in parentheses, Joe Donnelly has been huge on this recently.
Well,
I want to get Joe on the show eventually. I don't know how many people know Joe Donnelly, but I want to, he lives right down the road here. I want to convince him. We could have a lot of fun. It could be a complete train wreck.
I don't know what would happen.
That's why it would be fun.
Like, I don't know how to describe Joe
one,
to people.
Do that one live with call-ins.
Oh, fuck. I honestly, I don't know how to describe Joe. Joe's like the nicest, coolest guy. And I think he's also like the most abrasive asshole in the world. But he's my buddy because I like get along with him totally fine. Like, but I love how he's just so ruthless. I love that video he put up where he was training that dude the other day.
I didn't see it, so tell me.
Oh, my God. So he had this kid. I guess the guy's lost over 100 pounds.
Right.
And then you watch Joe train him, and you're like, oh, no doubt. No doubt he's lost 100 pounds.
Lost 100 pounds this week.
Yeah, Joe's got him out behind the gym running sprints, and he's fucking screaming at him, just saying, he goes, the kid's bent over breathing, and he's like, are you fucking done? You might as well vote for Hillary and take some dick up your ass and fucking become a Democrat, you fucking pussy. You waste half your life being a lazy fat fuck. You fucking run. You fucking run. And he's screaming at the kid, and the kid just fucking keeps running. He's like, that's right, you fucking run. He just fucking all over him. And I guess Instagram, I guess, like, took like thought it was so bad, like, someone reported it.
He took it down.
Yeah, it's so fucking funny. But that's how Joe is. That's just how he is, you know. And he's always talking about, I pack my fucking gun anywhere. You know, some guy said to him, do you carry in the gym? He's like, yeah, my Glock's in my bag. He's like, you know, because you're in Arizona, right?
Yeah, so.
He's just fucking hilarious. You know, but yeah, I'd have Joe on the show for sure. That would be fun.
Oh, yeah. No, we definitely will. So what do you think about the TRT for guys in their 20s, though?
Well, I mean, I think Joe, you know, he's saying to guys, hey, get your levels. You know, let's say normal is, you know, whatever metric you're using. Let's just say normal's 30 to 130.
Right.
And you're at like 94.
Right.
Joe's saying, that's cool, but if you want to be a sexual fucking machine,
prowler, predator,
and an absolute, iron destroyer, and you want to squat 500 for reps, then why don't you go to 130?
Right.
Get it up there.
You know what's funny is, and this is a little bit off topic for the question, but the people who I use for my hormone replacements, the reason he got started in it was exactly that. This is, you know, before it was in vogue and everyone was doing it. He was a race car driver, business owner, super successful, and he started getting older. And in his late 30s, started to feel the drop.
Yep.
And he went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, well, you're getting older. That's it.
Yeah, it's normal.
You know, and he was like, well, fuck that. If this is what I should expect as a downward fall for the rest of my life, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
So he's a race car driver. So what does he do? He starts delving into hormones and how to manipulate and what you can do. And first he was attending seminars, then he was putting them on.
Right.
You know, because he would go and he would start debating with these doctors and things. And they're like, oh, I never thought of that. And wait, what about, you know what I mean? And so the point is I'm actually 100% with Joe. It's like, in my opinion, I hate if you go to your general doctor and you say, I'm exhausted. I have no sex drive. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do anything. And they take your blood work and he's like, oh, you're tested 500. You're fine. No, but I just gave you 77. Like, I'm not talking about a dude who wants to work out. I'm talking about an average guy. They will tell you, you don't need anything. You are within range.
Yes. Yes.
Range. If I feel like shit, I feel like shit.
Yeah.
So to me, get to the top end of range. Also, don't forget there's 10,000 other hormones you should make sure they're in place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you get tested and see where you are.
Another benefit that nobody brings up anymore. It used to be something that people talked about. No one mentions it at all anymore, but I can personally attest to its effectiveness. is that testosterone's a hell of a good birth control. Like, believe you me, I should have got somebody pregnant by now. But I haven't. And, you know, I'm pretty happy with the effectiveness of the fact that test is like a, you know, it is a birth control. I don't, North America doesn't prescribe it for that. But I know in Europe for a long time, they were doing like TRT doses of test as like birth control for men. And they had really good percentages that they were coming back with and all that. So, yeah, that's something to think about too, you know, a little side benefit.
And I could definitely say that, anyone who's been in that road, I know I've had that conversation before, like, I'm late. I'm like, well, it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I know. And then everyone also has that one friend that does not apply to.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow it happened. You're like, I didn't say it's 100%, but yeah, 96.
No, I know. I got a buddy who has both his kids were contest prep babies.
I didn't tell you to stop pulling out. I just said that the odds were better.
Yeah. You should. Yeah. You still should be pulling out. Yeah, definitely.
That's gold. Oh God. All right. Do we got time for a couple more? Or what?
Yep.
Okay. This is interesting. So I'm going to have you generalize a little bit here, but Howie_K wants to know coach prices and level of athletes they coach in competitive bodybuilding, not lifestyle. So what do you charge to prep bodybuilders?
Yeah, that's interesting. I've done it differently over the years. It just depends. If someone wants to pay like ahead of time, like all at once, you know, they just want to pay and like, hey man, show's 6 months away. I just want to pay you. Then, you know, I will, you know, work something a little bit better out. But normally my rate's $350 a month.
Mm-hmm. Canadian, I do like $150, guys.
Yeah, Canadian, so it's like $50 American. It's like cheap, it's like practically free. I charge $350 a month Canadian, and you know, I get good response with that. The people that prep with me have absolutely no problem paying that. Some of them have even said they're like, oh, that's good. My last coach charged, they'll name some guy that has done nothing I've never heard of, and he's like $500 a month. I'm like, holy shit.
Right.
You know, somebody's never competed. Like some of the people, they're just milking these people. It's so funny how it works. You know, you can have a shitty coach who gets his hand on a really genetically gifted guy.
Right.
And the next thing you know, that shitty coach is like the hottest guy on the block.
Right.
Because he's got his hands on this fucking talented monster who just like, you know, responded really, really well. So one of the things I always say is, you know, how do their natty guys look on average?
Right.
I've had probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 people win natty pro cards over the years. And I only prep like if I get like one natty a year. So it also look at that. Like if someone, they say, oh, this guy produces, say, this guy gets all the bikini pro cards. I'm like, well, he better. He's got 100 bikini girls.
Right. It becomes mathematical.
It just becomes math. Like if he has 10 bikini girls in every show, he should bring home bikini pro cards. Like that's, the numbers are just too crazy. Or about 30 people in one show.
Right.
I look at the coaches that put in the real like focus work is what I always looked for in a coach. You know, how many times has your coach gone to a show with one guy and brought home all the fucking hardware?
Right.
Yeah. I've done that like 24 times.
Right. Yeah.
Gone to a show with one dude, class overall, let's go.
Yeah. No, I've had that before where when I was training more people locally, it was funny because there was moments when I was coaching people and so was my old coach, JJ Marsh, and someone would walk out just sliced. And someone would look at me and be like, you? And I'm like,
that's your guy?
Got to be Jay. Because if it's not me, then it has to be him. You know what I mean? Yeah. So.
Yeah. I had people start to say, like, back when I lived in Alberta and I would prep a lot of local people, I remember people, like, they'd look at me and they'd be like, they'd point at the one, he's yours? And I'm like, yeah. And they'd say they could tell by the posing.
Right.
And, like, back when guys used to have to do their own tan, remember those days?
Yeah.
They could say, oh, your guys always have good tan. And I was so paranoid about color because I'm so white.
Yeah. I would do it for them.
Yeah, like I would say, man, you got to put on like 5 bottles of Pro-10. And then we'll, you know, then we'll do an overcoat, you know, like,
yeah.
And they would come out like with really good color and all that stuff. So people used to be able to say they could pick my guys out of the line. There's a lot of great coaches out there too. There's also coaches that are repeatedly really good at helping people and get almost, they're not like well known at all, you know?
Well, I think a lot of people have this misconstrued thing of that, because you know, the guys who are pushing to be gurus and to be out there. And there's nothing wrong with that. And some of them are great coaches. Some of them are not. But there are countless people that I respect and talk to that churn people out and no one knows because they just do it quietly. You know, like I don't actually promote my coaching currently. Like people know, but like I'm like, oh, maybe I should make one of those cards that says I do coaching and put it up in my stories every now and then. But people just, they see it. And I don't even like hammer on putting a bunch of my clients up. Cause I do tell my clients, I'll post about you if you're interested, or I'll share your stuff, but I don't assume that I get to do that just because I work with them.
Yes.
You know, so if they, you know, it's all the time. If you want me to put you out there, I will. But I'm not going to just do it, because I think sometimes it's like, it kind of comes off as look what I did. And I don't necessarily, you know, yes, you played your role. But you know, the majority of clients, they're proud and they want to, so they'll say absolutely. Or if they tag me in a story, yeah. I'll share that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. So I know that there's people, let me hear your opinion on this. I know there's the new era of coaches where you sign on with them and you actually sign a contract.
Right.
Like, that doesn't mean anything.
You have to, yeah.
It's unenforceable anyways.
Yeah.
So you sign a bullshit contract and then you have to tag them. You have to put coached by in your IG bio.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to repost their branded coaching ads, right? And yep. Then when you go to the show, you have to wear their coaching team jacket or shirt or whatever.
Right.
That is so beyond anything that I would comprehend. I always used to say, I understand business.
Right.
I'm just not that good at it.
Right.
I understand business. It's just not my thing. I always used to say, you're not on my team. I'm on your team.
Right.
Yeah. Like I should have a team Johnny shirt on.
Right.
If I'm helping Johnny, I should have a team Johnny shirt on. I'm Johnny's coach. This is Johnny's team. His wife is on the team. I'm on the team. His best friend and training partner are on the team.
Right.
Yeah, this is team Johnny.
Yep.
This isn't about me.
Right. No, I hear you.
And I always used to really bother. It doesn't bother me as much now because I just let things go as I get older. Hence the birthday. 44. At 44, I can't give a fuck about that stuff anymore. I understand. And some of these guys are doing fucking awesome. They have like 100 clients paying them $250 a month. Just fucking nuts. Yeah. But I just, yeah. And then the whole advertising your coaching thing. I feel like when I advertise my coaching, I'll get like 10 new clients, but only two of them are really good.
Right.
And I don't mean really good as in like, they're going to look good on my stories. I mean, good. Like they fucking really want to work, you know?
Yeah.
And the other guys are sort of, they want to dip their toes in and see what it's all about. And they're kind of hesitant. No, this is really, I'm not ready for this. And they just turn out to be kind of, you know, those guys that fizzle away really quickly and you can't really help them.
Right.
And I just get really, really tired of that. You know, I'll try to help anybody. But I just find if I just don't advertise, then the quality client, those two good guys still come.
Right. Not what you mean. No, I definitely know what you mean.
So, but yeah, the business of it has been difficult for me just because, and I don't mean difficult, like hard to do. I just mean difficult, like I'm not really the big fan of some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you for sure.
So I just sort of, you know, I'm really been happy with what this show has done.
Right.
Because since we started doing these episodes, the people that have been contacting me have been awesome. Like yeah, it's really cool. High quality of inquiry. So, I mean, that's all I want right now.
Yeah. No, I think this is a good question too, because I do find that some people, I'm shocked when they don't jump in because they're so amped and they're like, oh, $250 a month. And I'm like, what did you think it was going to cost?
Right. Like,
I mean, I do updates every 5 days. You can contact me as much as you want.
Yeah.
You know, because I've had people ask me, I mean, just recently, a great new client of mine, if I pay 6 months up front, is it less? And I said, no.
Right, right.
This is my price because I'm very good at what I do. You will be here in 6 months. I don't need the money up front. So, right. You know what I mean? And I want to do this. And the reason I like month to month is I like to me, the only fear I have, and I know a lot of old school guys, you know, it's all up front. The way I look at it is you're hiring me. I have a job to do. When you pay me every month, I got rehired again.
Right.
So if I suck or if I fall off or whatever, like what is your repercussions against the guy who took $4,000 from you and you find he takes 4 days to respond?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. Like, you know, to me, and it's a two-way street too. If you're sucky to work with, I don't want the money bad enough to keep working with you if you're not clicking along. So everybody who I work with currently is doing the best they can. I mean, they're perfect. They've got missed check-ins. They've got struggles. They've got plenty of things, but I know they're putting forth the effort. So I'm still in, and that makes it enjoyable beyond the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I just had a really good weekend with the clients that competed. I was really happy with all three of them. You know what I mean? Just all three people worked really hard. I could tell they were following the plan because they changed every week. Mm-hmm. The one girl that I helped, she didn't have a lot of time. It was a bit of a short prep. She just fucking busted her ass. You know, the one dude I helped, it was a comeback. He'd like competed back in the old days with me, like 05, 06, 07, I think, you know, he went and had kids and all that stuff. And then he did the whole comeback show and he was absolutely, you know, he was nice and ripped and I was just super happy. And then I helped a natty guy for the show out here. And I mean, he went from like 235 to 190,
right?
Like, you know, natty and you know, he looked great and everything. And he had a really good weekend. So I was just really happy with everything. So that's the best part and the most rewarding part about coaching, you know. Didn't have any wins this weekend, but didn't bother me at all. It was like, if the clients are happy and they did all they could, you know, that's a good spot.
Absolutely.
So Dusty.
Yes, sir.
You got one more?
I think we're pretty solid, man. I mean, pretty the ones solid. Are a really good shot. So you know.
I just realized now that we've done like almost an hour and a half.
That's how we roll when we got question and answer.
I know, it kind of flew by. And there's a few more here we can save till next week. So we don't have a guest officially booked for next week, but we got some lines out. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Absolutely.
You know, the feedback's been great. I think people have all kind of migrated over to the channel, obviously. You know, like we were saying, those first couple episodes on the new channel didn't get as many YouTube views, but now it seems to be surpassing easily. So really happy to see it growing. And, you know, people keep the questions coming and keep the feedback coming and you know, tell your friends.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys. Dusty Hanshaw, myself. Remember, it's just bodybuilding.
Voices Radio Network.